Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world according to Velvet. This is Velvet. I forgot my name for a second. That's not tell you how witted I am already today. We're reporting live from planet Earth via Whitefish, okay? And guess who my guest star is today? Terry Cito. Welcome.
Whoa.
Welcome back. So we're here, and it's a sunny, cold day. There's all those well-digger jokes about how cold it is. But this is a public program, so we aren't going to go down that hole. So anyway, today is Friday. We could call it Freeform Friday, but we'd be stealing from public radio. So we're just going to call it Talk About Whatever We Want Friday. I kind of posted that I was fascinated with Saturn and Sag. And it has been definitely something that I've been kind of processing a lot. What does it mean for us as a collective? What does it mean for us as individuals? Because you may not be a Sagittarian, but you all have Sagittarius in your chart. And wherever your chart has Sagittarius, that's the house that's going to light up. So, like, for example, it's on my rising sign, and that's how other people see me. So, you know, I'm still trying to understand what that means. I think for me personally, I had an interaction on the radio this week where I did not engage. Well, I didn't. There's a part of me that wanted to get in a fight on the radio, but not a fight, okay, but I reacted, okay, I owned it. So I reacted and to somebody else's truth, thinking there wasn't enough room for both of us to have a truth. But also it came to my awareness is I am not my beliefs. And so, you know, I may have reacted in that moment, and it gave me an opportunity to kind of find a little bit more about who I am. So anyway, Terry, is there anything you want to talk about?
Boy, you are not your beliefs. Ooh, there's a mouthful. I don't think most people even realize where their beliefs come from and how they construct them. You know, they're handed down ideas from their tribe or their church or their peer group or what they think is cool or their education system. And so we're patted on the back as we adopt these beliefs ourselves and add them to this persona, this little mask that we wear. Ooh, this is cool. I want more of that. And we really don't even examine where these ideas come from, if they are valid for us, how they're working for us, and 99 times out of 1,000, these beliefs may be leading you down the wrong pathway here. But, that's a big one there. I believe there's probably 6 billion beliefs on this planet. Is everybody in truth? I think your truth could be a mutable thing from time to time as you grow and you learn and you expand. That what you thought was true when you were 20 years old is completely different when you reach 50. Boy, that's just a topic that we could explore forever, Velvet. What do you think?
Well, and I think, yeah, and I think beliefs become crystallized, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think about Saturn is that the energy of Saturn and the things that happen to us does put our beliefs, it crystallizes our beliefs. For example, what's kind of coming to mind is I was on Facebook the other day, you know, that addictive thing, and there was one of my friends posted this thing about a belief in our culture that men are predators. And I thought about that, and I realized that my father basically taught me that men are predators. Because when I was a teenage girl and I wanted to go spend the weekend with my boyfriend, he said, no way. I know what boys that age want, and what he would do, and I'm not letting you do it. So right there, in that moment, crystallized this belief for me that men, I didn't think of predator, that's not the word, but in some ways it's a predatory energy. And so it's been making me, again, I've spent a lot of time this week evaluating my beliefs, Are they true? Have they crystallized? And are they distorting perception of the world? And yeah, I am. So maybe that's what, because isn't Sag also about dogma? And is dogma the same as belief that has been crystallized? That's a question, Terry.
I definitely think it can become dogmatic, your beliefs, especially when it is something that you have to, like, rise up to claim, I believe this. And why do you believe that? Well, because my parents believe that, or my church or whatever, especially in the church dogmatic system. We have to accept these things on faith. And we keep getting these gnawing little things like, really? Is it really that way? There's this mean pie in the sky that's going to burn me forever because I ate an apple or something like that. I don't know, man. That seems a little harsh, but I'll believe it, you know. And how's that serving you? You go around condemning yourself, thinking you're a sinner, and you have very little to substantiate that. It's like, how could I be a sinner? I haven't done anything wrong here. Well, at least not since last week, you know. So these beliefs, you know, as they get calcified or crystalline, as you said, and we just hold on to them no matter what you say or evidence I find, then I think you've gone over that little dogma line. And then you really got to watch out, because if your karma runs over your dogma, you're into a whole world of hurt then there, aren't you now?
Yeah, and then, so let's say Saturn puts these beliefs in place for whatever reason.
Saturn, your karma?
Saturn is tied to karma, right?
Yeah.
So it puts a belief in place, and in a way, what I'm kind of seeing right now as we're talking is that a belief has a certain frequency, and it keeps you a certain frequency.
Yeah.
And then when Saturn comes around, so like right now it's in Sag, so it's going to make us question all of our beliefs and all of this dogma that's been put upon us and all of anything that's crystallized. And so Saturn just starts whacking it down, making us question it, because it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to evolve. And so any belief that you have, I think the next 2 years will be a great opportunity to question every belief we have.
Oh, really? Yeah. Look at our beliefs. Me in my 50s growing up in America, land of the home of the brave, you know, land of the free and all this sort of stuff. Well, now with the advent of the information age and the internet, we're really seeing, well, geez, there's some kind of sketchy things we've been doing around the world here in the name of big business and military industrial complex and all these sort of things. So how do I justify looking at myself and my nation and saying, wow, I need to do something here because the belief that I have is not matching the deeds that I'm seeing done here. What do we do about that? How do we face ourselves and look at that harsh truth and then make the changes necessary to incorporate a new truth? As I get older and older, I'll say one thing and immediately see, especially in the political arenas, I'll see that the opposite of what I say has validity too. And then you can see why we're so divided. And I believe the powers that be use this division to play against us. I believe in these red things. I believe in these blue things. Well, in reality, there's a little bit of both kind of swirling around in there. And if you looked at what you believe in and then got some sort of clear message of what these bigger groups that are telling us what to believe in actually stand for, you'd say, yeah, I'll take a little of that, a little of that, none of that, more of that. And you'd come up with your own amalgam of truth. And this is what we have to do in every arena, whether it's religion, politics, our own careers, our relationships. We have to look at what is this energy I'm resonating at, and are the people around me resonating at the same frequency, or are we just kind of live in some sort of askew energy lie here, you know?
Well, so we've been put in these little boxes, all of us have, you know, and even people, I hate to say it, even people who say they aren't are still in a box.
Really?
I think. I mean, I don't know anybody who's not in some little box.
Right. They might have a round box.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're trying to move beyond the box.
Mm-hmm.
But even, well, you know, have you ever heard of the Wadico?
No, what's that?
It's the mind parasite.
Ooh.
And what this I can't remember the guy's name. It's a great book. He talks about how it's a collective parasite, and it attacks our mind, and judgment is one of the biggest signs that you have the parasite. He said the other surefire sign that you have the parasite is if you say, oh, no, I don't have the parasite.
Oops.
And it feeds on division. It feeds on emotion. It feeds on cognitive dissonance. And so I think the parasite has, like, taken hold of the collective. That's what his book talks about, is that it's in the collective, and then each of us as humans in this human collective are infected. And he says the way to move beyond it is compassion. He says when you're in a place of compassion instead of judgment, the opposite of judgment is compassion, theoretically, you don't give the parasite anything to feed off. And so it'll go find somebody else.
Mm.
And I, you know, is the parasite the same thing as these beliefs?
That's a good one, Velvet.
I don't know. More questions than answers. That's always been my gig.
Well, I got a little something on that. I don't believe the parasite has a hold of the collective. I believe, well, I ruminate over these ideas. There's probably entities that are discarnate from this physical reality that might play with us and might interject thoughts. A parasite seems to be something more on the physical level, and it may infect weak or susceptible people. But as infecting the whole collective, that's an interesting one to think about. I got to see how that sits with me. I don't know if I'm ready to accept that into my belief structure. The Course of Miracles is a good book to help you examine your beliefs, because one of the very first things it says is that you give meaning to everything you see, and that's based upon what you're taught and your upbringing and your DNA and all this other stuff. And if you're not seeing the perfect love and harmony that God created, then you have already gone into the free will attributes of telling yourself a lie and letting it play out before your eyes. So I think there's lots of things going on here. When you're searching for your own truth, if these things come to you where you are in judgment or you're not doing so well with whatever your choices or beliefs are, then you might be dealing with some sort of parasite or discarnate spirit or something like that. But as a whole, I think our spirits are way beyond even the whole collective. So to see the whole collective having this, I'm not sure about that.
That's a curious answer.
It is.
So we'll just put that out there, and anybody who wants to chime in about that, Mary Lou, who is on the phone. Let's see if I can bring her in. Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm listening on Skype because Blog Talk doesn't really stream these days.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, where do you live?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Well, welcome. We're just having an interesting conversation here. Did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I'm listening, though.
Okay, do you want me to take you on speaker, or do you want to chime in at all?
I'll tell you what, if I chime in, I'll raise my hand.
How do I know that you've done that? Oh, will you
on the
like
switchboard, there's a little hand that goes up.
Okay, I'll look for it then, okay?
How are we doing
okay
here in Louisiana, man?
So are you missing out on this three-degree weather that we've got going on here?
You know, I have this lovely garden, and we've had such warm weather that I had two-year-old tomato plants, and they were producing tomatoes, and they were really big, and I made a big box around them and put really expensive plastic around them and stapled it down really tight so it would withstand the wind, And everything back there died yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dang, I thought we were the only ones getting hammered this right this time. Well, Mary Lou, thank you.
Everything beautiful.
Well, so is it warmed up down there?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we can't send you any warmth. We can just send love, okay?
You're in Florida, right?
No, we're in Montana.
Oh, Montana. Did you used to be in Florida?
Pardon me?
Didn't you used to be in Florida?
No, we've always been here in Whitefish, Montana.
Okay, and how cold is it?
3 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
But the sun's shining, so I'm happy.
We're going skiing a little later.
Yeah, once it gets up to 5, I think it's okay to ski.
It's been in the 70s all winter long, so when it dropped down in the 20s, it's quite a shock.
Oh, I'm trying not to be jealous, okay?
I was shoveling in the 20s in my T-shirt the other day, 4 feet of snow.
Well, Mary Lou, thanks for calling. I'm going to take you off speakerphone, but if you want to chime in, please do.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Okay, let's see if I can... Okay, there. All right, so she's gonna signal me if she wants to speak. It's really great to have Mary Lou out there. We're sending sunshine. Well, she's got sunshine. Would you send some of that warmth here? I mean, 20's warm. We take off our coats after it's been down to 3. We run around thinking we're having a heat wave when it gets up to 20.
It's gonna get.
So, back to Saturn. What were we talking about? Okay. We're talking about parasites. We're talking about collective mind control, parasite stuff. Yeah, it's an interesting story. I don't know if it's true. I think there's some people that would call that parasite archons or whatever. And then as Terry was mentioning the Course in Miracles, you know, the Course in Miracles say there are two emotions, love and fear. Fear is an illusion, therefore there is only love. And, you know, that is the trick right there, to know when fear has a hold of you, because it puts you in delusion and illusion.
Right. And then the minute fear jumps in, you are in the wrong vibe there. So you're just fooling yourself. So, we have all of these things running around the world stirring up fear. Are they really there? Is there global warming? Are there contrails or chemtrails? We don't know. We have all of these different beliefs running around out there, and I think that's because we have so many things pressuring in and pushing on us to look at what it is we truly do believe, and what are we trying to do here on the world? Are we trying to spread fear? Are we trying to be in love? Here at Rocks and Things, they see a whole lot of love going on, a lot of different modalities for people to come to terms with just exactly what their truth is. And whatever they come up with, it's fine and dandy. We'll help you along, and that may evolve over a time. Who knows where you're going to end up in 20 years or so. These ideas, these beliefs, we are in such an incredible time of change and mutability and... we'll just see what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is a pretty exciting time. And it's really exciting. One of the other things I learned about this last weekend is, I had a personal experience with it. So, you know, I get some new idea or I learn something. And then the way the universe is working right now, I get to almost immediately experience it and feel if there's if it's just a bunch of hooey, right? So I was preparing for my apprenticeship class. I think I talked about this at my last program. I was preparing for my apprenticeship program, and I was reading this book by Cynthia Dale, I think is her name, and she's talking about feelings versus emotions. And what she said is that feelings are these little packages of information, or excuse me, these little packages of energy. A feeling rises, and she associates feelings with the second chakra, sensuality, sexuality, creativity, but also feelings that she said have a frequency, and she almost described them as a color. She didn't come right out and say color, but almost. It's like a frequency, right?
A bandwidth.
A bandwidth, that's a good way to put it. And so a feeling rises, okay? And what she says, if we can just feel it and not even name it, then it unlocks this energy and we expand our awareness. Okay? And so I thought, well, that's a really interesting thing. I could believe that.
No, I'm on board.
And then in my apprenticeship class, we were studying the water element and how the water element is associated with fear and how and it's associated with the kidneys, and there's this constant balancing between the fire and water, and it's called the sacred marriage in Chinese medicine. And too much water / fear will kill you. Too much heat / out of balance is joy or lack of faith will kill you. Because like our heart, let's for example in our heart is constantly balancing the fire and water. And the pericardium is what allows, that spins off, it's constantly adjusting to balance the fire and water unless something happens that wounds our pericardium, and betrayal is often what trauma or betrayal wounds the pericardium. Well, anyway, back to the feelings. These little feeling bodies get activated by a situation in our life. And the opportunity is we feel it. Our heart opens and feels it without judgment, without thinking about it, without even naming it. That's hard for me. And then we spin it out and our energy is expanded. So I had an interaction with somebody and a feeling got triggered. I didn't even know what it was, but I felt my reaction to it, and I literally felt my heart close and my heart tighten, and then I could not hear the person anymore. And I was very obvious in my shift in energy. I didn't say anything at first because I was just witnessing it, but I felt the contraction and I couldn't stop the contraction. And so then he felt it too, and then we had a conversation. But what I realize now is if my heart can feel it without judging it, then it'll shift my awareness. And what was really interesting to me is when my heart shut down, I couldn't even hear him. And so we were talking about, let's say you have a truth and I have a truth, and they're diametrically opposed, okay? And, you know, with the whole Sag thing, somebody has to be right. If somebody's right, somebody's wrong, right? That's kind of a Sag, kind of black and white thinking thing. And so the opportunity, I think, for me, and I'm working on that now, is to hear what people say and not be threatened by their beliefs. And expand and open and hear what they have to say. And what you were talking earlier is there's truth in every perspective. Which kind of, you know, I brought up this before, that Laurel had Laurel does this thing called the crystal medicine wheel. And the thing that was so impactful to me is you could have 12 people sitting around that wheel, and every perspective helps us gain the bigger picture. And there is something about that wheel that I personally wasn't at all, and maybe it was the questions that we were asking, I don't know, but I was never threatened by somebody having a different perspective than me. It just helped me get a bigger picture. And so I think everybody who's doing any kind of work as a group, I think Laurel's medicine wheel is a very, very valuable tool because, you know, I don't mean to bring politics in, but even I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, I'm in some ways very liberal and yet conservative. I totally hear what the conservatives are saying about the social programs, but I also feel like we need to support and empower people. Currently, the social programs, I think, disempower people, right? I think, you know, I'm kind of a bleeding heart. You know, I have a lot of empathy for people who are down and out, but I think currently the system cripples them. And that's the key that the conservatives have, is that our system isn't helping, okay? I really don't you know, maybe it's because I think it would be really traumatic. Maybe it would be the best in the long haul if we just shot all those social programs down. But I personally would have a hard time seeing everybody in distress. Maybe it would bring out the best in people instead of relying on the government. It would bring the best in communities. I don't really know what the answer is, but I see that paradox in that question. Carrie has something to add.
Well, a lot of these social programs have only come along since the New Deal and in the 60s and stuff like that. So their track record isn't that long. Somehow we got by with the charities of the church and the systems that came in to help people before them. What is the truth on this? This whole thing where we take one stance or another, this is the root of what divides and conquers us. Yes, we do have to come together on some form of consensus, but if you look at the division and the polarity, especially in the political arenas right now, and what's going on with how our money is spent, boy, I tell you, the surefire way to get things screwed up is get the government involved, in my book. So that's kind of a conservative idea, but I'm with you 100%. The people who are genuinely in need to be helped out, and they need to also learn how to carry their weight through that, you know. So, I mean, even if they have to go out and pick up a few things here or there to justify that check that the collective is handing them, that's what's got to be done. So there's so many ideas on this. We could go on this topic forever. What is the belief surrounding this? What is our responsibility to our fellow man, and how do we get together as a collective to institute things that are going to be equitable on all levels, empowering people who are in need and being fair to the whole as we go?
Well, we have about 3 minutes, but Michael Pilarski just walked in, and I think one of the things that he does is part of the answer. I don't know if you heard the question, but we were just talking, well, first of all, we were talking about the us versus them thing, the big picture, and how different, even though they seem opposing, both have some truth. But we were talking about the social programs and how some of the social programs disempower people. And I think the answer is tied to what you're doing with the permaculture and, well, I think it's community, actually. And permaculture, a big part of permaculture is community. Is that not true?
Yes, and the goal is for full employment for everybody. Everybody should have a productive place in society. Everybody should feel that they have right livelihood. People shouldn't feel that they're doing a drudgery thing for paltry sums that don't feed their souls. So we need soul-filling work.
There's
enough work in the world to keep everybody busy for a while. There's a lot of things to fix up, of the earth itself. Look at all the people. Oh, my gosh. People everywhere need more help. So, and I just heard this the other day. This was straight from the fairy's mouth, that there's what we call people in the world, but that there's a balance. And right now, you might say the bad or the dark is a little bit too strong, but both of them are in the world. And for the world to exist, but we have to coexist better.
Right.
So let's go.
Right. Well, thank you, Michael. And it was just perfect that he came in, because I think that's very true. It's about soul-driven work. And I think we have economic slavery here in our country, and people are doing work that doesn't feed the soul. So why would I go work at McDonald's for a wage that doesn't feed me, rather than do something that makes my heart sing? You know, I'd rather get $10 an hour doing something that my heart sings than $30 an hour doing something that stifles my soul. However, I think that is, I'm so glad you came in. At the perfect time. I love this place. So we have 30 seconds. Tell me what you're doing this weekend real quick.
Next weekend, 1,000 crops for Montana farmers. So people can show up and learn about all the things they can grow here to feed themselves, medicine, et cetera.
And that's at Linda Dewey's?
Lindy Dewey's next Friday, Saturday. You can just type in 1,000 crops for Montana farmers in Google. It'll probably come up.
Sweet. All right. This is. Thanks for being here, Mary Lou. Thank you for joining us from balmy Louisiana. May the sun shine on you, and may your tomato plants come back strong. This is live from Planet Earth, over and out. Thanks, Terry. Oh, by the way, thanks, Terry.
Yeah, right. Okay.